Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you survived the apocalypse yesterday. My God, Lynn, I was going for my jog around 5 o'clock after my little nap, and I walked outside, and I live in the West Village. I looked up in the sky. There was a demarcation between where it was still blue and light going downtown and this massive dark black clouds rolling in really, really fast. And then the wind was whipping up so much so that all the leaves on my street were swirling around, and I could feel it was like pins being shoved into my face. The leaves were being forced at my face like that. But I decided against, even though I had got my Lululemon jogging outfit out, I decided against the jog and I went for a swim instead. And it was during the swim where the skies opened up and I could hear the thunder in the gym. It was incredible yesterday.
Thank God for that. Jen, you saw your face with all that stuff. I was poking you with the leaves. Long Island wasn't terrible where I am. I guess hardest hit must have been Connecticut. They had 84,000 plus power outages, a couple of deaths from falling trees, plus the 11-year-old girl in Newburgh, New York, another falling tree. So the trees are obviously the big problem. Power outages big in Connecticut and in central Jersey, 43,000 there. But just a terrible situation in some areas. And by the way, if you're in an area that there are trees are down or it was like the apocalypse, you know, tell us your story. We're at 800-321-0710. We'd love to hear what you guys survived.
I mean, those winds were so strong when you see pictures on the television this morning of trees uprooted.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me of? And then the sky last night, it turned this weird orange purple. It reminded me of the climactic scene in Ghostbusters.
Oh.
When all the clouds come together above Sigourney Weaver's apartment and the demons are coming down. That's what the sky looked like last night here in New York.
But so you had some heavy winds, but that was pretty much it. Is that what happened where you were?
Yeah, heavy winds. Very, very heavy winds.
And a lot of rain?
A lot of rain, yes. Yeah. A lot of rain here in the
And it went out in a hurry. I mean, gone.
Well, that kind of a storm. But the clouds were really amazing. I've never seen clouds move that fast. I was trying to think, now, can I outrun the clouds? Can I stay ahead of the clouds and stay in the blue part of the city? But I realized this is not going to happen.
The storm was moving at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, no, well, I'm fast, but I'm not that fast. There's no way. So, some Metro North service changes on the Hudson and Harlem and New Haven lines, so you better check your commuters. A mess at Grand Central yesterday,
Oh, my
too.
God. You see the crowds there?
Yeah.
Did they must have stopped people from even entering Grand Central. I mean, it was
unbelievable.
Oh, they did stop
them?
They
did, yeah.
Yeah, they had to. I mean, I saw the mob scene. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. Also in the Big Three, I don't know what's going on with North Korea. Everything looked like it was going swimmingly. The summit is coming up. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, North Korea canceled the meeting today with South Korea. Now they're saying, well, you know what? If the President Trump really insists on scaling back our nuclear program, we're not going to meet with him. Apparently, this caught the White House off guard. Surprise, surprise. But I think it's Kim Jong-un just playing his usual nonsense game. And if you're listening, Kim Jong-un, remember this.
I'm sure he's listening.
Our button.
Is the iHeart app there, Dad?
North Korea?
That free iHeart app. He's got it there.
It goes far.
That's right. If you're listening, Kim, our button is still bigger than your button, so you can play all the games you want to. If you mess around too much, we're going to blow all the Humpty Dumpty up there. So.
It did seem to be going too smoothly. The release of the hostages, the big summit coming in Singapore on June 12th. It was all going swimmingly. And now you got to remember who we're dealing with. You're dealing with this crackpot in North Korea. I'm not sure it's ever going to be smooth, but, you know, we can hope.
Well, I suppose he's trying to keep everyone on their toes or whatnot. My prediction is the summit still comes off and Trump will charm the nukes off him. Do you think so, Len?
I don't know. I just don't know. With this guy, I really don't. I hope so. I mean, it would make sense for his country. I mean, let the people live and breathe and have a life there. But
lift the sanctions so they can eat.
But who knows? You know, who knows with this guy? I really don't know.
Man, all up in the air. So we'll get into that later on. But also in the Big Three, we're going to become like Colorado. Pot everywhere. This state wants to legalize marijuana. It's probably going to happen. De Blasio says no longer cracking down on pot smokers, going to give them a pass, a summons instead of an arrest because of the disparity. And it's true, more blacks and Hispanics are picked up for smoking dope than white people. That's the case. But, you know, my concern about going down this path of...
What, broken windows?
Going here? Well, you know, I spent some time in Denver, which they sell pot everywhere.
Yeah.
The place, it looks shabby and raggedy. You walk around the streets of Denver, there's a pot shop on every street, and there are a lot of potheads just floating around there. And the quality of life does decline, I think, when you let people just get away with smoking dope all over.
I know someone who was going to rent an apartment in Denver, and they said it just, went to pot, so in more ways than one. They never rented because the whole area became seedy. What you're talking about.
There is a shabbiness about it when you allow all the pot out there, but I think that's where we're headed. Cynthia Nixon wants it. Governor Cuomo's pulling back from it, and now Mayor de Blasio says we're not going to really crack down on
it. A couple of points to be made. I mean, really, it seems like everyone's doing it anyway. You're really gonna arrest people for that, and it's a valid point. It's on their record forever. And what did they say that most of these, it doesn't stick. There's no, there's no kind of jail time. We know these people get arrested, and then that's all that exists is the arrest record. There's really no punishment. And there is a disparity in the number of whites and others. So I understand the reasoning behind it, and I guess it sort of makes sense.
No, I agree. But I don't know. Are you a pot smoker, Joe?
No.
No.
No, but if it were legal, I'd probably do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's the only thing that stops
you? Have
you
ever done it in the past?
Yeah, in college. Didn't. Do much.
Doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it didn't really do anything
for me. Made me hungry.
But you know, the thing is, I mean, it seems like it's beneficial for a lot of people. And I think what's happening too is a lot of people like my age, you know, as you get older, you start smoking and it kind of makes some of your aches and pains go away. That's what I hear.
Is that the only thing stopping you is the illegality of it?
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to get it, but. Well, actually, I probably could ask one of my kids if
I know. I have a feeling your kids know how to get it.
I'm sure my kids did too. Yeah. But didn't your governor say he wants to legalize it in New Jersey?
Oh, New Jersey.
Is that coming?
Yeah, it will happen.
You can get it from the governor then. I'm sure, checking with the governor, he'll know how to get it. So.
But, I mean, there seems to be a lot of beneficial aspects to marijuana.
Yeah.
I mean, they use it for medicinal purposes. So how bad can it be?
This is great. Let's advocate marijuana.
I mean, it's just something about all the potheads I've known. They lose the work ethic. They just kind of sit around. I think it is a bit of a gateway drug.
Yeah, that was my question. Is it a gateway drug?
But aren't those people going to be lazy anyway?
I don't know. I think the pot exacerbates the laziness.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Imagine around this radio station. But,
oh my God, with a cloud of all that pot stuff. Hey, I want to throw in a mention of the great writer Tom Wolfe, who died Monday. He wrote one of the great, great books about New York City, Bonfire of the Vanities. I know, Joe, that you are a big fan of
that. I love that. That book was fabulous.
I come in today and I said, let's talk about Tom Wolfe. And Len is like, oh, I never got through the movie.
I didn't.
Did you? How can you have lived in New York City?
It was a classic.
Yeah. I tried watching the movie.
The movie was a turkey. The movie was Tom Hanks. But how, Len, could you have lived in New York in the 1980s and not read Bonfire?
I had a job. I didn't have time to read books.
Jobs too.
See, he drove through all those areas. He didn't have any flat tires on the Cross Bronx.
I tried to avoid the Cross Bronx.
Of course you did.
Although I remember one time I had to get off the Cross Bronx, and I'll tell the truth. I was just scared out of my life.
Well, there you go. There's Bonfire of the Vanities.
I'm telling you, I was so scared.
Bonfire of the Vanities set Brooklyn back, the Bronx back for decades because the protagonist of the book, he gets lost one night in the Bronx, runs over a black kid, and then gets caught up in the justice system of New York. He becomes fodder for the headlines in the New York Post. Yeah. There's an Al Sharpton character. But when I was...
Hey, this sounds like a good book.
It's a fabulous book.
After I read that book, I actually was driving in from upstate New York, and I did take a wrong turn, and I got lost in the Bronx, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be this guy, Sherman, whatever his name was. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to run over a black person. They're going to cause race riots. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be made an example of a white person of privilege. My life is going to be ruined.
My wife was driving up the West Side Highway, and she was fearful of making the wrong turn to go to the Cross Bronx after reading this book, too.
Yeah.
And she did.
Oh, boy.
And so she kind of sort of panicked, but she saw the hospital sign and said, you know what? I'm going to go to the hospital. Ooh. And that I'll be safe there. And she ended up finding another way on the GW Bridge. But
yeah, that
it scared people.
Absolutely. It was a great, great book. And it savaged the excesses of everything in New York in the 1980s. All the crazy high rollers on Wall Street, those obnoxious guys. The New York Post brilliantly portrayed, because the journalist in it is this disreputable drunk. And
was that?
This is,
who did, was
it was
it,
me.
No, but Neil, in the movie, was it Bruce Willis?
No, Bruce Willis, I think was the judge or something like that. But the journalist was based on journalists I knew at the Post.
Well, so
these
they're
guys
all
who had big
all
careers.
Drunk,
they were
drinking,
all drunks.
And they were
all looking for their one last shot at a big story that would save them from the gutter of alcoholism.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what happened to this guy. So you've got to read this book, Len. It's absolutely terrific.
Well, wait
read
a second.
The book, Len.
I finally got Razzle Dazzle, your book. That was my next book. For my December vacation. I only get to read on vacation. I don't have time to read. I'm busy. I'm studying for the show. During the 80s, I was working on sports every night. Who had time to read?
I don't know. I read all the time. I read for relaxation.
Really?
Yes. The book's only 500 pages, so you'll love it.
Are you a fast reader?
I am.
Yes, that's my problem.
I'm
a slow reader.
And Tom Wolfe cut a great figure in New York City. Remember, always in the dandy outfits, the hat, the white.
You met him a few times.
I did. He was charming. He was from the South. He was from Virginia.
How's a guy from Virginia and the South, and how does he just nail New York
perfectly?
Because
he was an outsider.
I see.
Because he wasn't born here. So he could examine it like a surgeon examines a heart patient he's never met before.
Hmm.
He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Wow. All right. Keep the umbrellas out, folks. There's going to be more rain today, but none of that lightning like there was in the Frankenstein movies that we had yesterday.
Morning, everyone. On a Wednesday, it's around 6:24. It's going to be a lot cooler than it was when it really got up there yesterday. High today, maybe in the 60s. Some rain in the area. We'll check in with Ray Stajic, our WOR meteorologist, the Weather Channel, in just a few moments. About an hour from now, we'll give away our first set of Mets tickets. And at 8:30, another set of Mets. Big win last night, Michael Riddle.
I know. The Mets are back in action.
Here they go, and they're playing this afternoon. Coverage here begins at 12:05. They try to complete a two-game sweep.
Ooh.
There you go. What are you laughing about?
Big win last night. I'm not taking a bait on that
12
one.
They're trying to win two in a row. And it's 12-2 last night behind Noah Syndergaard, who said he really didn't have his best stuff, but he got the win.
He got it.
And by the way, at some point this morning, we're going to play Real News or Fake News.
Oh, I like that game.
That's where we give a couple of headlines to listeners on the phone, and we give them one real headline, one fake headline. And if they guess which is which, they win a lovely WOR t-shirt, which looks very nice. Check it out at our Twitter feed. We just put up a picture of it. It's at Len Michael WOR.
The most important thing about the t-shirt is on the back it says Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
So yesterday, three deaths reported. There was a tornado reported in Sullivan County. There was one guy in Mahwah. He claims a tree crushed his garage, and a homeowner said he had a show car in the garage that was worth $100,000.
Not anymore.
Ouch.
Not anymore.
What did you say, Natalie?
I was watching the news last night, and I saw, I think it was either...
What kind of a car was it?
It was a 1963...
Yeah.
Some kind of show car that was very expensive.
Did they interview this guy, Al?
They did. Not only did they interview him, that the reporter that was out there with him, it was a two-car detached garage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this enormous tree was sitting on top of it.
Oh, boy.
They were huddled inside, and I kept thinking, why are you in there? Because the tree could fall further and crush you along with the car. And the second shot that they did, the authorities came and cut off the power and made them come out. But this poor guy, he just... He had just gotten the car from California.
Wow. This is a Channel 7 report. His name is Al, either Valles or Valise. Maybe we should try to call him because I'm just curious what the insurance ramifications are.
I want to know what kind of car it was. I love show cars.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It didn't mean anything to me, but it was blue.
Natalie, we have an assignment for you.
Was it bullet blue or powder blue blue?
It was like a shiny... Sparky blue.
Hey, Al Valles or Valise, if you're listening or if a friend of yours is listening, give us a call, 800-321-0710. If not, we're going to put Natalie on the case, and Natalie always gets her man.
So. I would love to have gone for a ride in your car, but I guess that's not going to happen now.
Well, so a lot of power outages in Connecticut and New Jersey. Let's check in with Ray Stajic at the Weather Channel. Ray, where does this little event rank? I mean, how would you sum this up?
We have one of the more impressive events I've seen in a while, especially to see supercell thunderstorms potentially producing tornadoes in the Hudson Valley. Sullivan County, so far, the only confirmed report, because that came in from a trained spotter yesterday in Eldred. A trained spotter reported a tornado And that's what needs to happen.
That's Sullivan County, right?
That's in Sullivan County.
Yeah. Where is that, in Kansas?
Yeah, close, right?
It's up,
yeah.
It's up the quick way.
Exactly. And maybe back in my hometown in Saugerties in northern Ulster County, reports of at least funnel clouds that moved across the river into Dutchess County. So that's not confirmed yet, but I think the Weather Service is sending a crew out, and they'll assess the damage, and then they'll determine whether or not there was a tornado. Then they'll put a rating on it. So, you know, good opportunity to just let people know, if you see that thing that looks like a tornado, like a funnel cloud, it's not actually a tornado until you see it touching the ground and actually seeing debris coming up from around it, too. So there have been a few pictures out there where you can't see if this thing that looks like a tornado coming out of the cloud, you can't get the full picture whether it's touching the ground or not. That not necessarily is a tornado. There's a few of them going around that look like it, but, you know, make a long story short, you have to be seen by train spotter, seen by emergency managers, or somebody that's trained, or the Weather Service will go out and assess the damage. But besides that, we had numerous reports. I mean, there's hundreds of severe weather reports coming in here this morning where most of the five boroughs, tree damage or trees down or large limbs down, hail reports, and unfortunately, three fatalities from this line of storms across the region. So an unfortunate series of events, and a lot of trees down on homes and on cars, as you guys were just mentioning. Luckily now it just looks like a soaking rain event over the next maybe 5 days, and no more severe weather expected.
Thanks for letting me know what a tornado looks like, Ray.
Yeah, I mean,
anyone who's seen The Wizard of Oz knows what a tornado looks like.
Well,
are we supposed to run to the root cellar?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Ray, you've run out of time, but okay. Just tell us when the sun shines again.
Next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Ray Stajic at the Weather Channel. Thanks, Ray.
Talk
to you down the road. Hey, it's 6:30, time for the latest news headlines. And for that, good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Well, we may have a storm brewing here. Mayor de Blasio giving the NYPD 30 days to overhaul its marijuana enforcement policies. City Council Speaker Corey Johnson agrees. He says people should not be going to jail because they smoke pot.
Instead of arresting someone, issue a summons, which is what they do right now, for low-level possession.
Yeah. The problem is there's a racial disparity in the arrests, according to the council speaker. 86% of those being arrested on low-level marijuana charges are black and Hispanic. North Korea threatening to pull out of that planned meeting next month between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Upset with military drills the U.S. is doing with South Korea, and they have broken off high-level talks with the South. North Korean officials say the military games are not helpful. And also, the criminal case against President Trump's former campaign manager will move forward. Federal judge yesterday refused to dismiss charges brought against Paul Manafort by the special counsel Robert Mueller. Manafort claimed that Mueller had exceeded his prosecutorial powers by charging him with money laundering, but a U.S. District Court judge rejected the argument, says Mueller's case against Manafort falls within his authority.
Isn't this the one-year anniversary today or tomorrow of the Mueller probe?
Yeah, it was probably yesterday.
Let's get out of cake.
Yeah. 1 year? Well, yeah. That's what I thought we would have.
How balloons? Many more years you want, Len? another three?
Six and a half? I have no idea.
Cynthia Nixon promising to reform the Moreland Commission if she is elected governor.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Another reason to like her, Michael. A panel would investigate government corruption. Governor Cuomo formed the Moreland Commission a few years ago.
That was bad. That was a huge mistake.
But he disbanded it amid reports it was looking at him.
He disbanded it. Oh, transparency. Oh, they're looking at me. Whoops, no more.
I'm telling you, this.
Nothing to see here.
I'm telling you, Cuomo, he is not a governor. He wants to be a king. That's what he wants to be.
Well, he's probably going to be your king. Our news brought to you by NYC Pain MD, leaders in non-surgical orthopedic treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEES. Okay, kids with busy lives are ruining their families. A lot of parents keep their kids busy. British study says parents are more likely to fight and bicker when their children have lots of activities after school. That's because parents battle over who's taking the kids where they have to go.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and they have less time to spend together as a family.
Ah, let them sit on the couch playing video games. I see.
Send them to their room. Read a book.
Well, the author Sharon Wheeler says parents hope activities are going to benefit their kids, but research shows in reality it's much different.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know, let the kids veg, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you got to run the kid to the dance class and soccer practice and this, that, and the other thing. And I can see why the parents fight over that.
Well, that's, how about the parents fighting over this pro golfer?
Oh, yeah. Wife. Whoa, poor guy. You got to be kidding
hold
me.
Hold that thought. Guy plays guy plays poorly, a real pro golfer, and his wife beats him up. Hang on.
We have I'd get another wife if I was him.
He's putter pecked.
I hit her five times. Coming up, we'll have that story. We'll also have the Mets with a rare laugher and the Robinson Cano story, don't you know?
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, 6:40. We just got an update, Len. Remember we were talking about the show car that was destroyed in Mawa.
This guy, Al, had his show car destroyed by a tree.
A tree fell on the garage where the car was. I love show cars. We're trying to figure out what kind of car it was. And Natalie, you came up with it. It's a 63 Chevy Nova.
Really?
Blue.
That's crazy. That would be worth $100,000?
Yeah, the show car. Absolutely. Sure, the show cars are worth a lot of money.
And it looks very souped up.
Oh, like a roadster or a racer or something like that?
What?
So what do you think? What do you think is the
It's got fancy things on it that doesn't look like a regular car.
Chrome.
It has a coon tail. Remember? And a dice hanging from the rearview mirror. Do you think he has a big deductible on this insurance?
I would imagine he would. I think those show cars, you have to, you got to insure them because they're worth a lot of money. So anyway, that is the news. 63 Chevy Nova. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Yes, a good day for the Mets. They beat Toronto 12-2 with Noah Syndergaard on the mound night. So a two-game sweep, as Len likes to say.
Maybe.
Are they back in business?
No, it would be a two-game sweep
if they win today, this afternoon. Right.
Well, here's my trivia question for you, because I know you like to take a deep dive in sports.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, this is an interleague matchup. You know, the Toronto Blue Jays playing the American League, which I'm sure you knew, and the Mets playing the National League. So in their history, the Toronto Blue Jays have played 12 games in Queens against the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You got it so far? They've played 12 games in their history against the Mets in Queens. How many do you think they've won out of those 12 games?
None.
Correct?
Ha! I knew it.
You knew it?
Oh,
knew
you're That's because I read your book,
you
Spanning
are good.
The World.
Yes, it wasn't. But anyway, sports. Syndergaard not only pitched, he hit.
The 1-0 to Syndergaard, broken bat looper down the right field line. That's a base hit. That is going to get Mesoraco to third. Into the corner, Hernandez coming up with the ball. They're sending Mesoraco, and a poor throw by Hernandez dribbles into the cutoff man and going to second with a double. And a run batted in is Noah Syndergaard. The Mets take a 1-0 lead.
Syndergaard's a good hitter. He actually had a couple of runs batted, then he later had a sacrifice fly. But he mentioned Mesoraco. Now, Mesoraco is the catcher, Devin, who the Mets acquired from Cincinnati for Matt Harvey.
Right.
And this is his first game back in Queens, and he capped off the carnage last night with a two-run homer.
The 0-1 fastball hit deep to left field by Mesoraco. Granderson back, takes a look, and it is gone. Devin Mesoraco hits it beyond the M&M suite seats over the Great Wall of Flushing. For Mesoraco, his second home run as a New York Met, his third this season. Flores scores in front of him, and the Mets now lead it 12-2.
Which led Howie to be able to proclaim at the end of the game.
Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books.
There you go.
So put it in the books. A little more oomph there, Howie.
Yeah, well,
put it in the books.
See what happened last night. There was like an hour and a half rain delay.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Mets are winning 12-2. Now, I know that doesn't happen often. But I think it just kind of sucked the excitement out. Believe it or not, the crowd was not on the edge of their seats.
No, probably not. Probably not.
But this afternoon, Zach Wheeler's on the mound, and coverage will begin Mets in Toronto at 12:05.
And at 7:30, I'm going to be giving away Mets tickets to the Yankees game on June 10th at Citi Field.
Awesome.
8:30, Len, you've got the turning point of last night's game.
How about this golf story? Because this is wild.
Absolutely. So Lucas Glover's wife, Krista Glover.
No, he's a good guy. He won the U.S. Open once, so he's not just second-rate golfer.
No, he's not, but he's not doing so well now. So Krista Glover attacks him,
his wife.
Physically attacks him, his wife, for playing bad. When he plays a bad round of golf, apparently, Krista proceeds to start an altercation with him, telling him that he is a loser and can you say the word on the air?
No, just
and a P.
Grab him by the...
Grab him by the...
That's calls him a P.
Grab him by the putter.
Right!
She said he needs to fire everybody, and then she says if he doesn't start winning, she's going to leave him and take the kids too.
Does it sound like she's in it for the money?
The picture of her, she looks terrifying. If there's a picture of her in the Post today, she looks like a serial killer. She looks like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. She's got these dead eyes and this fierce hair.
But she didn't only go after Lucas Glover.
She went after the police.
No, she went after Lucas Glover's mother.
Yes, the mother-in-law. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Her mother-in-law, 62-year-old Hershey Glover. She had lacerations on her clothes, so she got arrested. I mean, she's taken away. She was released on bond. Now, Glover released a statement, you know, defending his wife and saying this will all be worked out. But
dumper.
What a terrible situation.
Well, then she's struggling.
Can you imagine?
The police are putting her into the car, and she wrapped her legs around the door frame of the police car so they couldn't shove her in. And then she screams at the police, "Wait till the tour hears about this. You will lose your job. This is why cops get shot in the face," she said. "Well, wait till I talk with the judge. You will be blank and fired over this."
Well, the problem is I heard that when you have a bad radio show, your girlfriend calls you a loser and a pee. So, I mean, this is a typical.
What are you talking about?
Very typical of how women are. They're very demanding of their boyfriends and husbands.
That is not true at all. My girlfriend is not like this.
Doesn't listen to the show.
How can you compare it to this lunatic who wraps a putter around her husband's head?
You've heard of Robinson Cano, former Yankee, big star for Seattle now. He's in the middle of a 10-year, $240 million contract. Well, he's going to sit out half this season, which I guess will cost him $12 million. He violated baseball's joint drug agreement. Now, he didn't take a drug, but he tested positive for furosemide. That's a diuretic. It's also known to be a masking agent. So if you're a player, if they find a masking agent, you're guilty of drugs. Now, he issued a statement saying it was given to him by a licensed doctor in Dominican. It was for a medical ailment. Didn't realize at the time. This is like fairly typical of what athletes do who are busted, blah,
he
blah,
said it was
blah,
given to him by a doctor in the Dominican
Republic.
Oh, but please.
The problem is an athlete is responsible for every single thing he or she puts in his or her body.
Mm-hmm.
So Robinson Cano, don't you know, out for an 80-game. That's first offense. 80 games, that's half a season.
Wow. Finished. Okay. Hey, is the summit on or off? North Korea is getting a little cute in the prelude to the summit, June 12th. I think it's time for Trump to slap them around and remind them that our button is bigger than their button. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000. $1,000. You're going to be rich. That's coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to traffic with Bernie Biden.
Morning, everyone. As we come up on 6:54 on a Wednesday morning, people are fascinated by this car that was damaged in Mahwah, New Jersey. I received a bunch of emails. People can email Michael and me directly at our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. One guy sent me a picture of what his car would look like, the 63 Nova.
Chevy Nova.
$100,000 car. They claim that's what it's worth. A show car was destroyed by a tree in Mahwah. This guy, Al. Now, Robert sends me an email and says that not only did he lose the $100,000 plus car, he lost a special souped-up Harley Classic, motorcycle. And he said, Robert emails, he said, hopefully the guy had classic car insurance.
Yeah, they do.
I guess there must be a special grade of insurance for classic cars.
Sure, sure. My uncle has a fleet of classic cars. He lives out in California, and he's got a gorgeous, Len, gorgeous red Cadillac 1950. Wow. With those fantastic fins. I mean, that thing
What's
is
that
bigger.
Worth?
A lot. But that thing is bigger than the Titanic. I mean, you could
big
swim
fins, right?
You can swim laps in the back seat of that Cadillac. It's a great car.
Mark emailed me some pictures from Yorktown Heights, just stunning pictures of huge trees uprooted. You see the bottom of the roots, and it doesn't look like his house or a house there was damaged. But, you know, trees killed three people in our area.
Including an 11-year-old girl, sadly.
In Newburgh, and two people were killed in Connecticut. So this was scary yesterday, and today a little bit of rain, not so much. Now, what's going on with North Korea? I thought it was all set. Everything's great. We're getting along terrific with Rocket Man. All of a sudden, hold up. Look out.
I know. It came out of nowhere. And apparently, North Korea's announcement yesterday that, one, it canceled a meeting that was going to have with South Korea today as a prelude to the upcoming June 12th summit. And now it's saying it might not even show up at the summit if Trump continues to push for North Korea to unilaterally disarm itself of nuclear weapons. I don't know what game Kim Jong-un is playing, but the North Koreans have played us a bit in the past. I think it's time for Trump to remind them that, hey, our button is bigger than your button. That's what got them to the table in the first place.
Well, most people just say the guy is nuts. Kim Jong-un. So it was going a little, you know, he met with South Korea.
He freed three prisoners.
Freed the prisoners. Big smile. We're going to meet in Singapore. Maybe he realized he has no way to get to Singapore. Do they have any planes or anything that can get him there?
Well, I mean, I think they've just installed wings on planes in North Korea Airlines. So usually travels by train.
But was, you know, so he initially said he was calling off a meeting with South Korea because, you know, the U.S. and South Korea, they always have these joint military exercises. So in protest of that exercise, which we always have, he canceled a meeting with South Korea. But then what's alarming is this top diplomat for the North. I didn't know they had any diplomats other than him. But this Vice Foreign Minister Kim Kai-gwan said in a statement that if Trump continues to push for a denuclearization, then all bets are off.
Well, that's the whole point of the summit. I mean, the deal essentially was going to be, we're not going to change the regime. We're not going to topple you. You can go about your business. Just get rid of the nukes, and you can go on. You can live. We won't kill you. I mean, that sounds like a good deal to me if I'm Kim Jong-un, because if we want to take him out, we can take him out.
Now, the other hot spot, of course, Israel, and there were a couple more deaths yesterday, so I guess it's over 60. They're not protests, but and whatever's going on, whatever you want to label it in Gaza, people are pointing fingers at Israel. But
of course. The mainstream liberal media thinks Israel is the oppressor and the aggressor. You read the New York Times denouncing Israel yesterday. They got all of the left-wing columnists up in arms because they think, oh, Israel is no longer a democracy. It's a totalitarian state because it oppresses oppresses the Palestinians. Well, I got news for you. The Palestinians were trying to crawl under the fence. They were throwing Molotov cocktails at the Israeli forces. They were throwing stones at them. If they had guns, they would have tried to shoot them.
Didn't they have kites with things attached? They were trying to fly across the border. Anyway, Nikki Haley at the UN, she was praising Israel. She was saying that Israel showed restraint in the Gaza border clashes.
In recent days, Hamas terrorists, backed by Iran, have incited attacks against Israeli security forces and infrastructure. That is violence that should occupy our attention, too. Those who suggest that the Gaza violence has anything to do with the location of the American embassy are sorely mistaken.
Well,
I don't think you should write about that.
I think the timing was pretty obvious.
Of course it was. They were going to stage... if they protested, the Israelis wouldn't have done anything. If they marched, if they complained, if they shouted, no. But they attacked the Israelis first, and the Israelis have every right to defend themselves.
For some people, the embassy opening is said to be a reason to engage in violence. How is that justified?
Well, she is saying that she was praising Israel for its restraint. Isn't that crazy?
They could have killed a lot more than the 62 people.
And then a Palestinian person started speaking at the UN, and she very, you know, visually got up and walked out.
Good for her.
Palestinian.
Make a statement. The Palestinians are just, they're puppets of Iran now, and they're puppets of Hamas.
Yeah, I just don't see an end game here.
There is no end game.
There is no end game.
There is not going to be peace in the Middle East. The Palestinians will not recognize the existence of Israel, and I can tell you from my friends in Israel, they don't care anymore, because the Palestinians are penned in, and they'll be penned in for the foreseeable future, and Israel will go on and continue to be the strongest country in the Middle East.
Wow, I feel like singing Hatikva when you finish that. Hey, what a mess at Grand Central Station last night. We have Alice Stockton-Rossini on the scene live. Have things cleared out there yet? Plus, let's put a grand in your hand. That comes up after the news. It is 7 o'clock. Good morning to you, everyone, at 7:05 on a Wednesday in the big city, or if you happen to be listening on the iHeart app around the country. Have we determined if the iHeart app works in North Korea? Because you had a message for Rocket Man.
I did. I told Rocket Man, you better come to that summit, or we're going to show you how big
the button
is. Exactly.
We have a lot of buttons at WOR. I've noticed. I have. You know, I'm new to radio, but there's a lot of buttons here.
No, we have not. Have you? Has Rocket Man emailed you yet this morning?
Not yet.
To let you know if he's been listening.
I didn't check who emailed me during the last break.
It's not Rocket Man.
No.
Kim Jong-un. No. It's not. He's a big fan of mine. I don't know about yours.
Yeah. Well, not a big sports fan.
No. He loves Broadway though.
What's his favorite show?
He loves show tunes. Hello, Dolly. He asked me if I get him tickets to see Bette Midler.
He thought it was about the Dalai Lama, though.
Yeah, well, the Dalai Lama has nothing to do with North Korea, but
whatever.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, people are fascinated by this car. This poor guy, I just saw the pictures up on ABC. Poor guy named Alan Mawa.
Yep.
His garage totaled
by a tree.
I'm sorry. I got to back up. I sounded like I was laughing. His garage was smashed to smithereens. Inside, he had a classic show car, a 63 Chevy Nova, blue one, worth over $100,000, gone.
Yep.
So what hasn't been determined is if he had the insurance or not.
If he's listening, he should call us and let us know. Yeah. I would assume he would have insurance. If you have a car that valuable, you've got to have show car insurance.
Well, someone else emailed us. He also had this classic Harley or something, or a special Harley. So he's some kind of collector.
Yeah.
Not good. He should build a better bob shelter for his vehicles over there in Mawa.
Who expects a thunderstorm is going to come through the state and knock over a tree on your Chevy Nova?
I have a feeling we'll hear from him before the end of the show. You know, Natalie is like the...
She's got to find him.
She's like
the
Royal Mounted Police. Always gets her man.
She's like the Mossad.
She'll get him. She tracks him down.
Yeah.
Big three stories. The cleanup continues, especially for Alan Mawa. After yesterday's big storm, but on a serious note, well, that's serious, but on a more serious note, we had three deaths, one in Newburgh, two in Connecticut, all trees falling. Just unbelievable.
Including an 11-year-old girl who got killed by a falling tree. That's a tough one.
Tree fell on a car in Newburgh, and that killed the 11-year-old. One person was killed in New Fairfield, Connecticut. Tree fell on a car. And a man in Danbury, Connecticut, tree fell on a truck. I think I saw that schools in Danbury have the day off because of the damage and the cleanup up there. I have to check on that. There are some changes on Metro North. In a few moments, we'll be going to Alice Stockton Rossini at Grand Central. What a mess. Did you see the crowds there yesterday? Unbelievable.
Yeah, there were trees on the train track, so people couldn't get out of the city yesterday.
Power outages. They had Connecticut Power, Light and Power had almost 85,000 outages. Let's see, JCP&L, New Jersey, 43,000, a little bit better. And Long Island, only 188. I told you where I am on Long Island wasn't terrible yesterday.
No tornadoes?
No. Well, there was one that the only one they confirmed was a touchdown in Sullivan County. It's the only tornado they confirmed, but there were a couple of other possibilities.
Have you ever seen a tornado?
I have not.
I never have either. Yeah. I thought they were confined to Kansas. I had no idea you get a tornado out there where you live.
When we first moved, my wife and I, to Dayton, Ohio, they would come on the air all the time. Tornado, what's the one where you actually, it's a warning or a watch, which is the less severe? Watch, I guess. There was a tornado watch. Look for it.
Right.
And so my wife goes in the basement of this apartment house, and she looks around. She's the only one there. This happens all the time. So people just basically ignore these tornado watches in places like Dayton.
Oh, my. You guys are such East Coasters. All you know about tornadoes is what you see in The Wizard of Oz. So she's out there in Dayton, Ohio. A tornado's coming. She runs to the root cellar.
The basement.
And nobody else is there.
She's the only one there.
She and Dorothy.
Also in the big thing, Auntie M. Also the big three. North Korea making noise about backing out of the meeting with President Trump in Singapore on June 12th. The guy's nuts. So, you know, for everyone who thought this was going to be clear sailing, not so fast. Still hoping for the best.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just don't know with this guy. And rounding out the big three, NYPD will be changing its marijuana policies to cut down on arrests. So they say there's a disparity in the number of arrests of blacks and Latinos as opposed to whites. And, you know, these arrests, while nothing really seems to come of them, there aren't jail sentences, maybe there's a slap on the wrist or something, but it does show up on people's records, affects employment. So I understand the concept here.
The question here is, I don't think I'm being racist if I say this. I wonder, Len, if the blacks and Hispanics clearly are arrested more often than whites are for marijuana use. But is it because they're using it outside on the streets, whereas, you know, white middle class and upper middle class people are using it in their homes, so the police are not going to know that they're doing it in their homes?
Could be.
Could that be the reason?
Well, the thought crossed my mind, but it does seem to be a disparity. So however you shake it down, there are a lot more blacks and Latinos with arrest records for marijuana than whites. But, you know, I thought the same thing.
If you're going to be smoking out on the streets and the drug is illegal, you're going to get caught.
Yeah. 7:30 in about 20 minutes, we'll be giving away some tickets to the Mets and the Yankees. So you'll want to call in for that. We'll have the Turning Point contest at 8:30. A lot to choose from last night's big Mets win. They won a 12-2, and they play again this afternoon, trying to make a quick two-game sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays. Coverage here on WOR today begins at 5 minutes after noon. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that, you know, the new Mets catcher who hit his home run in this first game at Citi Field, he's the one who came to the Mets from Cincinnati for Matt Harvey, Devin Mesoraco. There's a chance he'll be joining us at 9:40 this morning.
Really?
Yeah, if he gets to the ballpark on time.
Excellent.
So, yeah. Devin, leave early, and then you can come on the air with Mike Libby, which I know will be your biggest career thrill, other than the home run last night. All right, Grand Central, what an absolute mess last night. Are things looking better this morning? Let's check in with Alice Stockton Rossini. Good morning, Alice.
Yeah, things are looking better, but everybody seems to have a horror story this morning, and the tweets are coming in fast and furious. Tweets like, your communication was a disaster in yesterday's event. Nobody knew anything. All the info we got at Grand Central was wait for announcements. Since we can expect more storms in the future due to mankind's stupidity, have a plan ready. Everybody's got a story this morning. Another tweet. Where is the 644 train from Mount Kisco? No updates on app. And another guy tweets, show up with refunds, not apologies. Gino is one of those people that had a very long commute home last night.
Yeah, we pulled into Peekskill yesterday afternoon on Metro North, and the skies turned black. Next thing you know, you see tree limbs and things flying in the air. And then the next thing you know, we're not moving anymore. They're saying that the trees were down on the tracks and to sit tight, but they didn't know what time they're going to be moving again. Wound up taking a taxi for $170 to Poughkeepsie to get home. A normal 2.5 hour commute took about 5.5-6 hours last night.
Yikes. Now, so you're telling me, you know, we saw the pictures of those huge crowds at Grand Central. You're telling me they weren't being told anything, all those people there last night?
That's what people are saying, that the apps were not updated and it was kind of like mass pandemonium and people were standing around wondering what was going on. And a lot of people, there was like a surge to the Port Authority and, you know, the tunnel to the bus underneath the Port Authority. They closed that for a while because there were so many commuters trying to get through. So here's another happy commuter.
I think I caught the last train out, 4:44. And it took me 4 hours to get home from Mount Vernon. No trains, no buses, no cabs.
So you just sat there?
Sat there, yep.
For 4 hours?
Yep.
And look where you are this morning.
Right back where we started.
Muscle stuff.
Spoken like a true New Yorker.
You know, there you go.
You know what you do, Alice, though, when you're stuck at Grand Central and you can't get the train out? You go to that bar at Michael Jordan's and sit there and have a couple of belts.
You know what? There's any number of places to go and have a couple of belts, and that's... That sounds like a good plan, man. I think I might go there now.
There's a pretty good clam bar down there, too.
Oyster Bar.
It's Oyster Bar,
not
right.
The clam bar. It's the Oyster
Bar.
It's
one of those things.
One of those famous restaurants in New York.
Yeah,
it's great, the Oyster Bar. I love it.
This guy, Gino, the first guy we heard from, he talks about the damage he saw when he got off the train.
It was like a war zone right on the Dutchess Putnam border. I mean, trees were down everywhere. There was a Chase Bank with the doors blown down. They had cops there. It was pretty crazy. The further north you got out of Poughkeepsie, the weather got much better, but it was crazy yesterday.
So, Alice, what are they saying today about either changes or delays?
Well, at this point, the only thing, it says limited service. I sent a picture to Natalie of the board. Limited service on Harlem Line with delays. But people are coming in saying that there are some delays on Metro North, but certainly nothing like last night. So you're just going to have to check the website, the Metro North website this morning. And if you have the app, hopefully they'll be updating the app throughout the morning because there could be delays at any time, anywhere. But for right now, it's not horrible. That's all I can say.
All right, Alice, can you get me a seat at the bar at Michael Jordan's and I'll join you for that belt? And I'm out of here about 10:30.
You got it, man.
Sounds like a party.
Order, for you.
Order me a Sauvignon Blanc, please.
I'm tempted. I may put off the nap for that.
And I'll take, I'll take you guys to the Oyster Bar. We'll shuck a few oysters and knock back a couple of bottles of Sauvignon Blanc, and we won't care if the trains are running ever again.
Oh, shucks.
All right. I'll hold you to that, Michael.
Thanks, Alice. We'll check in with you later. All right. Alice Stockton Rossini at Grand Central. But that's the most frustrating thing. And you hear that time and again whenever there are these issues, no information. You hear that on all, it's not just Metro North. You hear it on Long Island Railroad. And maybe they have nothing to say, but at least come on and say we have nothing to say. And that annoys you on airplanes, too. You'd be sitting there, and you're not taking off, and the pilot's not talking to you. I would say, lack of communication we got here, Riedel.
Try going to the subway and waiting on the platform for an A train on the weekend, and it doesn't come for a half an hour, and you have no idea what's going on.
They don't have those signs on the post, service changes or repairs?
They're so complex, I can never follow them. You know, the train doesn't run from 5 in the morning till 7 right. p.m. on this day and that day, and every other Wednesday it goes on the F train. Please.
Coming up, light them up. They're changing the marijuana laws in the city. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? It's going up in smoke. We'll let you know. Plus, if you want to win a grand, you'll have a chance at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. Oh, that Al.
Al and I worked that one out, Len. We knew you'd enjoy that.
Yeah, that was great. By the way, Al's going to join us. He's written a new book. He's going to join us in a couple of weeks.
But do you remember when we debuted this show, we had Al on, and you said, hey, have you ever heard of Michael Riedel, a Broadway columnist? Everyone knows him. And Al said, never read him. Remember this? Never read him. Never heard of him.
That's your nickname, isn't it? Never read him,
Riedel? Never read him, Riedel. That's it.
You know what? They thought they were going to surprise me with that. So I walk in here the other day, and what's sitting here in the studio? Al Roker's visitor's pass. He's visiting Scott Lakefield, our assistant director, assistant program director. So his visitor's pass is sitting here, and on the desk, sitting in front of me, is that little thing that Al just said. So they thought they were going to surprise me. They left here like breadcrumbs.
Oh, my God, a trail of evidence. You don't have to be Columbo to figure that one out.
What a big shocker. Natalie, you knew about that, huh? Now, did Al come up specifically
Natalie, isn't it your job to erase all traces of the evidence?
No, he was here for a different reason. He was recording something for the Weather Channel.
Oh.
So, okay. When they had him here.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but Len found the script.
I mean, it was all here. The script, his visitor's pass was sitting here.
Oh, boy. Anyway. Oh, boy. You guys need better criminals around this place. Hey, just want to bring you up to date. Margot Kidder died. We talked about her yesterday. Great actress, played Lois Lane in the Superman movies. She was found unresponsive on her couch in her Montana home on Sunday by a friend who was helping her clean her house. And we are awaiting toxicology tests on her. Foul play is not considered involved, but the toxicology tests will take a few weeks, they say. So, too bad about Margot Kidder, really talented actress, and love those Superman movies.
Oh, she was terrific.
All right, well, if you want to get high, now's your chance.
Today I'm announcing that the NYPD will overhaul and reform its policies related to marijuana enforcement in the next 30 days.
There you go.
I think the mayor's been high a few times in his life. Wow. I have a feeling he's been a pot smoker.
Maybe he still is.
And we must and we will end unnecessary arrests and end disparity in enforcement. It's time for those to be a thing of the past in New York City and all over this country.
Yeah.
He has that sleepy-eyed pot smoker look about him. If you notice.
Wasn't there a story about, Joe would know this, wasn't there a story about
him?
He's
a pothead, isn't he? The,
well, there is a, there were rumors or suggestions that he and the First Lady would go out on the porch at Gracie Mansion and smoke, and that's why they put up a bigger fence.
How does a fence prevent the smell of pot from wafting around?
It's on the FDR Drive. You know,
can't be seen.
So, you know. that was unofficial reports that apparently came from police officers who are part of a security detail.
Build that wall. It's never been
corroborated. The mayor was asked about it specifically and has denied it. The last time he smoked pot was college.
They're old 60s hippies, please. And I bet Speaker Corey Johnson's probably a pothead too, Len.
It's going to be smoked in public. So when it's smoked in public, how do you handle it? And we don't believe that jailing young black and Latino men at a substantially higher rate makes any sense.
That's Council Speaker Corey Johnson. Let's hear from that famed pothead, Al Sharpton.
The arrest itself has impact on ones trying to conduct their lives that a summons doesn't. So it's a step in the right direction, but it's by no means the end goal.
No, I happen to agree with that point, that if you're going to be stuck with an arrest record, and it's going to follow you everywhere, it's going to hurt you in college or getting a job or something just because you were arrested for smoking marijuana. I mean, yeah.
I just have this
image. You, come on, Michael, ease up on that, just a summons?
Yeah, I mean, my feeling, though, is, you know, we just spoke about this earlier. I was in Denver to cover the out-of-town tryout of Frozen, the musical, and they've had pot legalized there for a while. And I was really struck by the fact that the city of Denver looked shabby, because on every street corner, every block, there was a shop selling pot, and there were a lot of people just hanging out there smoking dope, and the quality of life clearly was going down.
Put it in the books!
You know what that means?
It's time for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees on June 10th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. Be caller number 22, caller number 22 at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. If you're number 22, you are the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. The phones are lighting up just like de Blasio and his wife at Gracie Mansion. And now let's go to Joe Bartlett with the 7:30 news.
It's only a rumor, Michael.
Only a rumor.
Three people dead after that powerful storm last night that ripped through the tri-state area. Man, was that strong. Strong and quick. An 11-year-old girl was killed in Newburgh. A tree fell on a car that she was in.
Oh, the tree came down and he was crushed. The fireman was there with the jaws of life, cutting the car out and trying to immobile life, trying to get the tree off the car so they get the body out of the car and stuff like that.
Now, there were two people killed in Connecticut when trees fell on cars there in New Fairfield and Danbury. And Metro North trying to get back to normal today. It was a rough day for commuters last night when that storm came through. Metro North suspended all service at Grand Central during the afternoon rush hour because of the storm. They say the suspension was needed to keep everyone safe. They're trying to get back up to normal this morning. So far, pretty good. North Korea may scrub next month's planned summit with the U.S. if the Trump administration insists that the North ends its nuclear program. Wasn't that the reason we're doing this? But anyway, state media says North Korea's foreign affairs vice minister says the isolated communist nation would reconsider taking part in the summit if that is a demand.
Well, all I can say is, I don't know.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Well, on Long Island, voters in an approving mood yesterday. Almost all of the school budgets were approved.
I voted yes on mine. Yeah, I went and voted.
Doesn't matter. Raise the taxes. Even though you don't have kids in the schools anymore.
Well, but that's
selfish.
By the way, I did hear someone saying that in an interview on television. Well, I don't have kids in the school, but the whole theory of that is it upgrades your entire
community. Yeah, that's
community.
What they said. Yeah,
totally.
That's what
and also
said.
You probably once did have kids in the school.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm paying higher taxes now for a much better school system and much better facilities than my kids ever had.
Aren't you glad?
No.
Does it make you feel good?
No.
Proud to be in New Jersey?
No. No.
Why are you even in that state?
I don't know.
State of confusion.
Budgets were defeated in North Belmore and Uniondale. And speaking of problem, first of all, let me tell you about the news being brought to you by Rex Real Estate. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry if you want to get out of New Jersey. 2% total.
Go to Long Island. I know a good realtor on Long Island.
Right? Get started now by calling 833-REX-HOME. All right, speaking of homes, there's a guy who has a home on Staten Island that is being terrorized by turkeys. Richard Gambardella says a turkey has made his property on Dungan Hills its home. This turkey has laid 18 eggs.
Oh, my God.
Right next to his front step.
I don't know what happens when they hatch. I don't know. Oh. I mean, I got to be afraid to come out of my door.
This is kind of a crazy situation. He says the state is telling him he needs a special permit to move the turkey.
What? Really?
Yes. He needs to see, wildlife has to come and do it. They have been, first of all, this is Dungan Hills in Staten Island. I didn't know this, but there's turkeys all over the place.
In Dungan Hills?
Maybe Dungan Hills, I don't know, but it's turkeys are wild there.
Wait a second. Don't get mad at me, turkey lovers. Can't he just kind of take justice into his own hands and get rid of this turkey?
No, you can't do that.
Why not?
Can't he butterball them?
Something have them for Thanksgiving. So
although they claim that wildlife will come at some point and take the
any
eggs
day now
and they're relocate.
They're in touch with Metro North right now to get the schedule.
Relocate the eggs and the turkey.
I have a better idea. You can have a turkey sandwich every afternoon for a long time.
Russian dressing.
I use a mayonnaise. I use a mustard on my turkey.
Russian dressing. Yeah. Well, sliced turkey. I use mustard.
Yeah, absolutely. So you'd have you'd have no problem if there were nests of turkeys there. You wouldn't have to go to Hormel.
Well, I wouldn't have to go to North Shore Farms and get my sliced turkey. Good morning to you, everyone, on a Wednesday morning coming up on 7:42. We're about to play our favorite game show, Real News or Fake News. And if you can guess as a listener, and we have a couple of contestants lined up, if you can guess which is which, you win a limited edition.
Severely.
You know what limited edition means?
Didn't order that many.
We didn't pay for that many of them, folks. That's what limited edition
That's
means.
That's right.
You're going to win a coveted limited edition rare WOR. They are nice looking t-shirts, by the way.
They are, yes, they are.
And they say Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on the back. But first, who won the Yankees-Mets tickets, Michael?
Congratulations to Richard Mezzasalma in Morganville, New Jersey. He's going to see the Mets take on the Yankees in Citi Field. So that'll be fun for Richard. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Richard. Coming up at 8:30, we'll have the Turning Point contest from last night's blowout Mets win. Yep, you heard that right. If you didn't stay up after the long rain delay, they won a 12-2. Save some of those runs for this afternoon's game, Mets. So it is that time.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
It's a Mark Goodson production.
Bill Todman.
Mark Goodson production.
Here's how it works. So our first contestant is Tom from Lindenhurst. Hey, Tom, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm getting over the wetness.
Okay, you sound up and awake, so you must have had a little bit of caffeine. But what do you? Are you retired? Or what do you do for a living? What are you doing home?
I work at the post office.
Ah!
Late at night.
Love the post office. All right. So here you go. I'm going to give you a real headline and a fake headline, and you have to tell me which is which to win that limited edition T-shirt. Are you ready to go?
Ready as ever.
Okay. Number one headline, woman gets arrested for selling her own hair because she didn't have the right permit. Here we go. Woman gets arrested for selling her own hair because she didn't have the right permit. Headline number two, a mom has to rename her son after her tattoo of his name got misspelled. Mom renames her son after the tattoo that she got was misspelled. So which is real, which is fake?
The second one is real. The first fake.
And you think the second one is real because?
I don't know. I have a gut feel.
You know, that's correct, but you gave me the wrong answer. We did the story on yesterday's show. It's a hilarious story.
Yeah, where were you yesterday, Tom?
A lady in Sweden. Her son's name is Kevin. True story. Her son's name is Kevin. She got home and the tattoo said Kelvin, and she realized it would be painful and take a lot of operations to get rid of it. So all she did was she renamed her son from Kevin to Kelvin. Problem solved. True story. All right, Tom.
All right.
He buys it. All right. Hang on the line, Tom. You won that limited edition T-shirt. We'll get it to you. All right. Let's have it. You're welcome.
And contestant number two happens to be online number two. Good morning, Dan from St. James, New York.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great.
What are you doing in St. James, Dan?
Well, right now I'm standing in my parking lot because it's a bad sell area, and I don't want to lose you.
Okay. Ah, all right. Well,
okay. That's what you do for a living. You stand in good sell areas.
I'm a physical therapy office that I'm standing in front of.
Okay. Ah, right. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you a couple of stories, Dan. One is real. One is fake. You tell me which is real. You tell me which is fake. Now, you know Margot Kidder. She's famous for playing, was famous, sadly. She died for playing Lois Lane in Superman. And you may remember, Dan, that she had that kind of throaty voice. Well, here's something little known about Margot Kidder. With that throaty voice, she was the voice of the demon in The Exorcist. Remember The Exorcist with Linda Blair when she talked like this? That was Margot Kidder's voice. All right, that's the first
scary,
story.
Scary, scary.
Here's the second story. A woman was shocked when she discovered that her dog turned out to be a fox. Woman was stunned when she learned that her dog was in fact a fox. So which is real, which is fake?
Well, I think over the sad news this week, would have heard it in the news that she was the voice. So I'm going to go with the second story. It's definitely a fox.
You're going to say the woman was shocked when her dog turns out to be a fox? That's the real story?
That's real, yeah. Really? You want to stick with that?
I'm sticking with that.
All right, you win a T-shirt.
Oh, Dan, I came up with that elaborate Margot Kidder feint, and I couldn't fake you out.
Good. You didn't sell me either on that
A woman in China discovered her dog was actually a fox when she noticed that it didn't bark, and it grew a long tail, and it was red, and it accompanied Pinocchio on a walk.
That's it.
No barking.
That's great.
No barking.
Congratulations, Dan.
Congratulations, Dan. Good job.
Very good. Real news or fake news? You know, by the way, we've done this, I think, 5 times.
Yep. And only two people lost.
Yeah, I think we're batting 80%. They're pretty good.
Wow, we're doing better than the Mets.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't have said that.
No. Rarely does a team in baseball play 800 baseball, other than the Mets the first several games of the season. All right, and we return. We've got the Robin Williams book. Oh, yeah. We have the author live. This is some book that's just come out, The Tragic Life of a Clown.
Good morning, everybody. At 7:54. Now, how much fun did Robin Williams give us, Lynn, over the years? I loved him in the sitcom Mork and Mindy when I was a kid. Great performance in The World According to Garp. Remember that movie he was in? Good Will Hunting. Always funny on Saturday Night Live. A lot of laughs over the years with Robin Williams, but apparently underneath the comedy, Robin Williams struggled with a lot of demons, drug and alcohol addiction, cheated on his wives, depression, and of course, in the end, sadly, he killed himself.
Well, it's already been 4 years since he committed suicide. Wow. He was just 63 years old. You know, he made 69 movies.
Really?
I mean, he was a ton of movies, but I thought his stand-up was sensational. He does a golf routine that will leave you in stitches. It's just sensational.
Well, his life is the subject of a new biography that really gets deep down inside this man and the struggles that he had when he was off stage. The book is called Robin by David Itzkoff, who I've known for years from the New York Times. David, welcome to our show. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure. So where did these struggles, where did these demons come from? Was Robin Williams always, even as a kid, struggling with depression and these problems?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was quite that, severe as a child. But, yeah, I mean, I think there are certain things that do go back to his youth. I mean, we think about comedians often coming from, adverse backgrounds. I mean, you think about people like, Richard Pryor or Tracy Morgan. And Robin came from actually a very privileged and wealthy upbringing, in the Midwest, kind of bouncing around between, Illinois and Michigan. But his dad was a Ford executive and traveled a lot for work. His mom was a kind of socialite, and also they loved him, but they weren't always present for him. And I think he, from a very early age, felt a lot of loneliness and solitude, and that gave him the kind of space to, develop his comedic voices and bits and characters. But I think it also left him feeling a kind of sense of isolation that he always carried with him, even into adulthood.
Dave, it's such a cliche with comedians, laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, but the more I delve into this, he had this disease, apparently, they discovered after he died, he would have hallucinations, he'd have violent personality changes, this is more than a cliche with him.
Well, I think I understand why people kind of revert, to what you're talking about. And I think he was definitely driven by a need for affirmation. I think also, though, he was very sincere about his interest in acting. And I mean, people probably know that he studied at Juilliard for 3 years. And even before that, had attended two other colleges where he was working really more on drama and learning how to be an actor. And that was something that he really took very seriously and cared about. And in a sense, the comedy career was really more the accident, something that he kind of sought out, stumbled into when he went back to the Bay Area in the 70s, and stand-up comedy was kind of having a resurgence. So, I know people look at some of the film roles, things like even beloved movies like Dead Poets Society, and you think, oh, it's a little bit sentimental. He's a comedian trying to, present himself as a serious actor. But, he had the chops, and it was something that he had always wanted to do as much as be, a comedian.
Dave, what were those last last few years of his life like when he was really struggling with a disease that I believe was misdiagnosed as Parkinson's?
Well, I mean, neurologists would not necessarily consider it a misdiagnosis. I mean, some of them sort of describe it as being on a kind of a spectrum or a continuum. They are both diseases that affect the brain, but you know, Parkinson's is really largely about things that are happening in the motor part of the brain. So you know, people who have Parkinson's will have a stooped posture or those kinds of ailments And those were things that he was starting to suffer from. But with Lewy body dementia, which was, found in his autopsy after his death, that also, affects the parts of the brain that handle, reasoning and processing, how you receive information. And so, as you said earlier, I mean, people who have that, they can have, severe anxiety and paranoia. And yes, they can have, hallucinations and other, really drastic symptoms. And it was not something, when he got the Parkinson's diagnosis, obviously that was, very devastating for him. And, he talked to close friends about it. Billy Crystal, who knew Muhammad Ali very well, who also had Parkinson's, was a great help and a resource to him. So at least it kind of put a name on what he thought he had, even if he had known fully what, had. I mean, it's not something that's curable. It's a kind of degenerative, progressive disease. And, I think sadly, if you look at his work, I mean, really going all the way back to some of his earliest stand-up, he did have this kind of, persistent fear about, what is life going to look like for me when I'm older?
Yeah.
And, what if I do, have something that's going to, rob me of my sort of, quickness?
Dave, it was a sad end to a great life and a great career. Well chronicled in your book, Robin, by Dave Itzkoff. Dave, thanks a lot for joining
us
here this morning.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for the time today.
Really was a shock when he killed himself. I mean, we had no idea how deeply unhappy he was back then.
Such a funny. Remember Mrs. Doubtfire?
Good morning, Vietnam.
Great. And on and on and on.
Right. Okay, hey, at least three people are dead after storms tore through the tri-state area, and tens of thousands are still without power.